Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I want to talk about the issue of abandoned and orphaned wells in Alberta and the big cleanup problem we still face moving forward. A new report out from the Alberta Energy Regulator suggests that things are trending in the right direction. This report released this week found a 9% drop in the number of inactive wells, down from 91,000 to 83,000. They also say that nearly $700 million was spent by oil and gas producers. Now, this is 2022 data. Nearly $700 million was spent, which was actually 65% more than they were required to spend under provincial rules. Chad Newton, regulator's manager of planning, says industry is moving infrastructure toward closure. Industry did a good job. But here's the thing. This is a major environmental liability still. The report suggests a $33 billion environmental liability from the remaining wells. Now, that's a big number, but that might be an underestimate when it comes to how big the problem still is. Now, it's interesting because the report suggests it's really hard to know. That might be over, that might be under, they suggest, but others who have studied this suggest, no, there's more clarity, and that's likely a much bigger number. Well, joining us to talk more about these issues, very pleased to welcome the program here this morning, somebody who's followed all of this very closely, Martin Olszynski, who's a resource law professor at the University of Calgary, a former federal regulatory lawyer as well. Professor Olszynski, good to have you with us here. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Rob.
I mean, just on those points about, you know, industry spending more than they were required to, the number of inactive wells going down. I mean, did you see signs of any real and meaningful progress in this report?
You know, so, I don't want to fall into that sort of trope where nothing is ever good enough. And you know, on the one hand, sure, like industry spent more in 2022 than they have in the past. And they appear to have spent more than they were required to. I would love to sit down with industry and understand why they chose to do so. My gut says that they understand that they have a public relations issue here, and they did as much as they could to try to address that public relations problem. But I don't see a sustained reversal in the numbers and in the scope and severity of the problem. Not at all.
All right. This bigger number, the $33 billion figure in that report that talks about the overall environmental liability, but then the suggestion that we don't really know what the number is. It could be lower. It could be higher. What do you make of the number, first of all, and then that suggestion that maybe we don't know what it actually is?
Yeah, so actually the regulator does have a sense, a pretty strong sense, has known since 2018 at least, that number might be actually off by a factor of 2.5, almost 3. So they have internal analyses that they did that suggest that, for instance, the inactive liability, so that $33 billion, one-third of it is for what we refer to as inactive liability. These are wells that have been dormant on the landscape, essentially. Haven't been properly abandoned, closed, haven't been remedied and reclaimed. And so the estimate they give is around $11 billion for that liability. But the regulator had analysis that it did in 2018 that suggests that it's actually 260% higher, or so close to $26 billion, actually, just for that inactive liability. And so then if we look at it like that, we think, well, there's no reason to think that inactive wells, the current inventory is all that much different, frankly, than our current active inventory, then we can take that 263% and say total liability, that $33 billion, is actually probably closer to $100 billion. And in fact, that's very consistent with another report, another internal presentation that was leaked to the media in 2018 from the AER that suggested actually that total conventional liabilities are closer to $100 billion. So, it was interesting to hear yesterday. I had to do a double take, I think, when I was reading some of the news, for the regulator to say, to acknowledge that that 11 billion and the 33 billion is a wobbly number, but then to suggest that it might be an overestimate, I think it defies any kind of credibility.
So maybe being, I don't know, deliberately obtuse here, it seems like they know more than maybe they're letting on here.
They absolutely know more than they're letting on. And so this is my big problem. Like, so, you know, yesterday's report could have been an important milestone, I think, if the regulator had brought it forward in the spirit of sort of like of transparency and forthrightness and frankness with the Alberta public to say, here's the problem. Here's how we've dealt with it so far. We recognize that there's a ton more work that we need to do, but here's our first initial step. But they didn't do that. They cherry-picked the numbers. They continue to rely on numbers that they know are inaccurate, that they know are an underestimate, and then try to sell it as a good news story. And I think that's the really problematic part. It's just, it's more the same. It's more deception from a captured regulator in the province of Alberta.
So, I mean, does this imply then that, you know, we have a regulatory gap, that we have insufficient regulations to address this? What's the source of the problem here?
Well, so, you know, and I think I was on your show in the fall, like, so myself and a couple of colleagues here at the University of Calgary, we published two reports, actually, out of the School of Public Policy here at the University of Calgary last fall, one on looking at conventional oil and gas liability, and the other one looking at non-conventional oil and gas, which is to say oil sands. You know, and I mean, the basic issue is that we have a regulator that thinks that its primary objective is to ensure essentially to minimize costs for the industry. That seems to be its sort of like, you know, that seems to be its single-minded sort of focus, is to make sure that the industry's happy. And if the industry's happy, then it's going to change its approach. Now, you know, we everyone understands the importance and the role of the oil and gas industry over time in this province. But when we're talking about $100 billion in potential liabilities, and we know that there's like not even $1 billion set aside for those liabilities, there's like something like $500 million maybe. That's a massive, massive liability that the Albertan taxpayer is going to have to at some point assume, unless we're prepared to say you can leave all these sites unremediated and unabandoned for perpetuity, then what the point that we're at is that we are talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. And to my mind, that's clearly a huge problem. And so in our paper, we said what we need is a public inquiry, right? We need a public inquiry. We need the government to step back, hire someone that is independent, a commissioner, to blow this file open, to present, you know, like I said, so I can even, if you go on my Twitter page, for instance, Rob, like I posted some of the slides from that presentation that show that the previous sort of estimate under what we call Directive 11 is 263% too low. They have that information, but they seem to not want to give independent sort of stakeholders, the public, the ability to scrutinize that information. Mm-hmm. And so we need that scrutiny. We need that independent public scrutiny. We need the regulator to be forthright, to bring all that information forward. And then we need to have a very serious conversation about how do we address this. And, you know, on this point, I just want to say, like, $700 million might sound like a lot to spend on these liabilities, but we're talking about a 20-year sort of or 30-year sort of deficit. So at $700 million a year, it would take over 40 years, and that's assuming that conservative number of $33 billion that we know is wrong. If you double or triple that number, we're talking about a century to clean up these liabilities. And what we do know, and this is kind of interesting, is in that report yesterday, what it also showed is that increasingly the proportion of wells that are marginal is constantly growing, and the number of sort of like healthy active wells is diminishing. Something's got to give here, but the regulator doesn't seem prepared to have that frank conversation with Albertans.
It was interesting, the response from the Alberta government. There was a joint statement from the Energy and Environment Ministers, celebrating what they see as the good news in this report, which we touched on, but also, suggesting that we're going to get some clarity in the coming weeks about the government's plan to address this. And we've heard, you know, certainly a lot of rumblings about the so-called ARC-STAR approach, the idea of trying to incentivize companies to do more of this cleanup that they're legally obligated to do. What are you anticipating or bracing for in terms of how the government's going to go about this?
Yeah, so it seems pretty clear to me again, like, because, and here's the weird thing too, like, there's almost a disconnect between what the report actually says and then what the leadership is saying, whether it's Lori Pusher or the minister, like they're saying that this is our good news story. If you look at this report and you look at some of the figures, there's clearly some bad news in there, even setting aside that they've underestimated liabilities. For instance, like the fact that they don't know the status of 24% of the non-well facilities that they regulate currently. You know, so one in four facilities, they just don't even know the status. So there's really damning information in there. But for sure, so when I look at whether it's Minister Schultz or Minister Jean or Lori Pusher, there's like a softening of the ground here, you feel like, for some of these initiatives that we know are essentially looking to do a runaround against around rigorous sort of environmental standards. So one of the things that Minister Schultz talks about is this like pilot where they're going to start giving reclamation certificates before land is actually properly certified reclaimed, right? The idea that certification, because of course the idea there, right, is that you've cleaned the land up, there should be no contaminants. Well, to do that, to say that you've actually done that, takes time, right? It takes years of data. You want to monitor, you want to make sure that there's nothing left, there's no seepage, there's no, you know, there's no contaminants migrating. But so what they're going to do, though, is, you know, having allowed industry to punt these reclamation obligations for an indefinite period, because there's no timeline for cleaning up wells in this province, they're now going to reward the companies that waited by being like, oh, well, but now you don't want to wait for the full time that's required to certify your reclamation. We're going to give you a certificate, a sort of an interim certificate, so that you can carry on your business.
Yeah.
So essentially rewarding bad behavior. And, of course, the real issue is, you know, we know the Auditor General has already expressed concern about how sloppy the regulator is in terms of actually verifying that sites have been reclaimed, right, and that there aren't issues. They're not really doing site visits anymore. All this is being done on, you know, essentially through a virtual portal. And so, you know, basically, you know, this report for sure, and the way that it's being treated by the political class, it's a softening up of Albertans to say, we've got this problem, don't worry about it. And here we're going to cut some corners, but don't worry about it. We've got the problem under control. They don't have it under control. They realize they have a public perception problem, and so they are trying to by doing the least amount substantively, but the most amount in terms of PR, they're trying to give the impression that they've got this problem under control.
We'll see what the government decides to do here, Martin. Appreciate your insight on all this. Thanks so much for making some time for us here today.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.